All right, we got 7 minutes on the clock to talk about raising capital here with Mr. Christopher. Welcome to the show, man.
Thank you so much for having me. No, this is a pleasure. Who I am, so that you know, I always speak from experience. I've been a licensed and registered rep in the financial industry since 2004. Originally from New York, I know you could tell because I can't shake the accent, no matter how hard I try. But I grew up on Long Island, so I originally started working at Nickel BD's, trained by some of the veterans in the industry in regards to selling investments. Then when I started working on Wall Street in 2009, that's when I was grandfathered the Series 79 investment banker license. So since then, I legitimately am part of syndicates and underwriters, structuring IPOs, private placements, secondary offerings, bridge loans, you name it, it's my life. I love investment banking. And then a few years ago, Chainraise, Corey and Jake, the founders of Chainraise, were all living in Miami Beach. That's, you know, obviously the new financial capital of the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they heard through the grapevine my experience. So they wanted to run past me their idea of leveraging the internet for Web3 companies in regards to raising capital via crowdfunding. And it kind of made sense to me because raising capital, when you dumb it down, it's just a numbers game. You don't know who's going to cut that check, right? So I was working from working with them and building out their platform for the past few years. I feel we kind of mastered it. I feel, in my personal opinion, every single startup should have a Reg CF exemption filed for them in the background, because if it's structured properly, it's constantly pounding the pavement in the trenches 24/7. You know, and that's the best way. It's a numbers game to find the people to cut you the check. So, do you have any questions
Yeah,
from
so
there?
you suggest for startups to go through the process and get the Reg CF in the background. Why is that? Why is it important to have that? Even if I'm not raising capital, is it still smart for me to get that Reg CF gone?
First of all, it's the most cost-effective and efficient way to raise capital for a startup, bottom line, okay? And you never know when you need money, especially in a startup. I speak to a lot of people that will be like, oh, yeah, we're interested in learning more about raising capital. I'm like, okay, great. I explain the entire process, you know, the methodical approach here at Chainraise that's been proven. And then they're like, okay, well, we're talking to a couple of the VCs right now. And I'm like, okay. You know, have fun with the carrot danglers, as I put it. And we'll be here. We're not going anywhere. And then 6 months later, they call me back. Yeah, Chris, we need money now. Nothing happened yet because obviously we want to control our own destiny, like you said, in regards to raising capital and not wait for somebody to fall from the sky to give me a check.
Yeah.
So I want to put myself in the best position possible for the highest success in raising capital.
Yeah, the worst time to raise capital is when you need capital, right? So you're saying as you're going through this process, you know, are there minimum standards or minimum numbers, you know, like that you would suggest as you guys are raising, right? Doing a crowdfund, are there minimum numbers that you're like, I don't know if you're ready for even a crowdfund yet. What would that minimum be?
That's a great question. Ideally, what we're doing is taking old school investment banking and combining it with the new age tech world, social media, basically leveraging your network to monetize it to raise capital. And in my opinion, that's the best way to brush elbows in networks way outside of yours. One thing about filing a regulation crowdfund exemption, a Reg CF, as we call it, is you're allowed to receive investor capital from anybody 18 and older, domestic, foreign, accredited, unaccredited, basically anybody on the planet with a checking account. And one of Chainraise's primary concerns is to help you create brand ambassadors, people that are not just happy to use your product or service, but also brag they're part of the vision. And that's how you get, you know, into rooms you normally wouldn't.
Yeah. So how does Chainraise stand apart from different, you know, other crowdfunding platforms? Because I've seen a few, I've interviewed a ton of the CEOs. Like what makes you guys different?
Great question. There's about 70 registered crowdfunding platforms in America. First of all, Chainraise is the only one that has built an entire ecosystem designed solely for gen tech. You know, tokens, NFTs, blockchain, crypto. We have everything in place to facilitate the filing, structuring of an offering, the marketing, and then also the banking partners, which is very important because ever since the FTX debacle and Silicon Valley Bank went out of business, the last of Mohicans that was had any escrow accounts for blockchain companies happened to be Fortress Trust, and they closed up shop for crowdfunding across the board just in December. So we're getting flooded right now from the other platforms that have any exposure to blockchains because they're just getting dropped. Okay. Yeah. Number one. The other, there's one of the philosophies that we've seen a tremendous amount of success at Chainraise is we don't list every offering that we are approached with, unlike our competitors who will list everybody and their mother. Because think about it, I'm an investment specialist for 20 years. When I was a stockbroker, I'd have three different stocks, an aggressive stock, a spec stock, a growth stock, or an income play. You don't know the interest of the person you're getting on the phone to pitch them, to sell them, to buy stock. So it's the same thing here. What we're trying to do is align the issuers with the investors that have the same interest, something they could swallow. We're not here to jam anything down their throat. So we want to make sure it's in tune with what they like. And then plus, think about it from an issuer's point of view. One law that these other crowdfunding platforms don't talk about is that we're not allowed to market individual offerings as a crowdfunding platform, okay? So all these other platforms, they say, yeah, we got investors for you. We could definitely fill the order. But all they could do is really just mass email hundreds of their offerings. So number one, how are you going to get noticed if you're an issuer? And number two is, you know, how are the that's basically the bottom line is how are you going to get noticed? You're not here to compete. Chainraise, last thing is, the only way Chainraise makes money is a success fee. So we only make money when our clients do and raise the capital. So our success is truly dependent upon our issuer's success.
Yeah, cool. I really appreciate you sharing. For people who want to connect with you and learn more about Chainraise and maybe put one of those CFs in their background and ready to rock and roll, what's a good place for people to connect with you and do that?
Okay. The best way for people to connect with me is through our website. That's chainraise.io. Okay, on there you can find our calendar, or please check me out on LinkedIn.
Cool. And we'll put all that information in the show notes below. We did that all in 7 minutes or less. Fellow dealmakers, we hope you're enjoying these 7-minute sections of the Deal Scout. If you have a deal that you'd like to talk about here on the Deal Scout, head on over to thedealscout.com, fill out a quick form, and we'll get you on the show next. Talk to you all on the next episode. Bye-bye.